So I do, I'm doing a new novel design, I think would be the best word to do it, the bioreactor that includes baffles. And a lot of times, since we've talked about the nutrient reduction loss strategy so much now, people are always like, what's a bioreactor? I tell people what I'm studying, and they say, what's a bioreactor? Why should I use them? Why are we using them? So I'm going to slow it down just a little bit and take it back to what is a bioreactor. And they're essentially trenches that are excavated based on how your field is laid out. And most of the time, they're longer, as they were talking about earlier, 100 feet by 20 feet. And they enhance the already happening denitrification. And how do they work? For the last time here today, we're forcing the tile drainage through into the carbon wood source so that the microbes can convert it into gas from nitrate to N2. And why are we using them? So there's 10 million hectares alone in the state of Illinois of subsurface tile drainage. And Illinois and Iowa happen to be the two largest contributors to the Mississippi River in the hypoxia zone. They switch off. And with the nutrient reduction strategies, as you saw on a previous slide earlier, bioreactors are one of the big ones we're pushing, specifically in the state of Illinois. And so we're shooting to put bioreactors on half of those 10 million acres in the state of Illinois by, I believe, like 2030. I could be wrong on the official date. So there's a lot of opportunity to get people really involved and excited about bioreactors. One of the ways that we're doing that is the university has the Dudley Smith project through the Dudley Smith Initiative. And the whole point of this farm is that we do research on nutrient loss reduction strategies. And overall, it's 42.9 hectares with the bioreactor draining from 14.2 of those hectares. There's 16 plots at 0.8 hectares, and there's 4 infield treatments for them. I don't know much about that. There's another graduate student working on that, presenting the nitrate applications on Wednesday, if you're more interested about that. It was installed last fall, and the main tile, which you can kind of see here in the middle, the mains, and this has a sub-main under here, is the 10-inch main, and then the laterals and the sub-main are 8 inches, which drain down and through here. It was put in on all the tiles were put in on 1/10th grade with a drainage coefficient of 9.53 millimeters a day. And then what I work on is the baffled bioreactor, as I said, and this bioreactor is 16.8 meters long, 10.7 meters wide, 0.91 meters deep, with 0.6 depth of wood chips currently, and it's an enclosed bioreactor, so we recovered it with soil. Additionally, the bioreactor has the two baffles, with one located 5.8 meters from the inflow and the other 5.5 from the outflow. And we put 12, which you'll see on a future slide, 12 sampling wells in a grid pattern along the flow path of the baffled part. And everything, we have a 3-chamber inlet for the bypass. So it's a little bit different than the 2 chambers a lot of people, farmers already have for controlled drainage, which forces it, we build the wall up and it forces it through into the bioreactor. And then we have a much smaller outflow and we put V-notches from agar drain in so that we can calculate the flow rate much more, because it really matters when we're evaluating this design that we know how much is coming through. So specifically, I'm looking at overall nitrate, nitrogen, and dissolved phosphorus and well sampling. We're also doing tracer testing, as this is more of a design evaluation rather than an effectiveness, although that's a great bonus. So as he was talking about earlier, it matters with how big they are. And so our concept is that by putting these baffles in, you're elongating the pattern by hopefully reducing the amount of land you're taking out of production. It's kind of sticking it more to the corner. And most bioreactors are designed for 10 years, so we hope to get at least 10 years, maybe much longer, and they usually drain outside of this one 50 to 80 acres, but this one specifically, as I said, is only draining the 14.2 hectares from the north side plots 1 through 8 on the bioreactor. So this is a little light, a lot lighter than I thought. For those of you who might not be able to see, the light line is all of the flow rate that's coming into the bioreactor from the inflow control structure. And the blue dotted line is the bypass. And you'll note here that I said that it was installed in the fall, but that we didn't start recording flow rate till the spring, and that's because cannons and a lot of stuff flows through the bioreactor when you first install them, so you want to wait a little bit so that when you go to run and collect your samples, that that's not messing up your data. And so it's best to let it run for a while and the bioreactor settle, especially since we put soil on top with a liner. And everything's in liters per second. You'll note that towards the end of April and May, it was really rainy. The bypass spiked significant, so rainy that we had a couple replants or significant delayed planting. And then again, we went into drought, and then we had that small spike there towards the end. There's a little blip of a bypass, and then we still have had no water really since. This is the nitrate concentrations that we're seeing so far going in and out in milligrams of nitrate per liter. The black dots are the nitrate entering the bioreactor, and the open circles is how much we're seeing it reduced by the time it comes out of the outflow. And as you can see, we're seeing reduction, although the black dots are higher than the white dots. I would note that they did apply pre-plant nitrogen in April, so you can kind of see that respike. And out here, there's this little guy right here, and that's when they did some side application on some of the plots, so you can kind of see it coming through the bioreactor. And now we have cumulative load, and so the orange is in, and the blue is outflow, what's coming in, and nitrate-laden water coming in, and nitrate coming out, and between these two, we're seeing a 76% removal as it's going through the bioreactor. Now when you throw in the bypass here, the bypass line, when we total that with the bypass, the amount of water coming through those 14.2 hectares, we're seeing 49% removal total of those, that 14.2 hectares. And I should note that bioreactors are designed specifically for denitrification, denitrifying wood chip bioreactors, but we have an added bonus of dissolved phosphorus removal. And so this is similar to the nitrate graph in that black is entering and open circled is leaving, still in milligrams of nitrate per liter. And they kind of switch off between it. But we are seeing a little bit of reduction, but then during the drought, you kind of see more of a source of P. And then for cumulative load here, again, orange is in, blue is out. We're seeing 69% in the bioreactor, which is great. And with the bypass, a 38%. So right now, it's statistically significant, I believe, on P removal. But we don't know if this will last. So in a year, it could be because it's so new, and or the wood chips that we're using that just happens to be an added benefit of the wood chips themselves. And I guess we'll know in maybe 5 years. This is the last well sampling event I was able to do before it was so much water was dried out. But I'm going to start here on the far left, and there I'm going to go through the wells one by one, and you can see the nitrate reduction following the flow path in the bioreactor as it goes through. So this is exciting to see how much nitrate is being removed with the baffles added in and that it is following the flow path. And the wells, which you can kind of see, we placed them specifically up closer to the corners so that when we do tracer testing and such, that we can see if there is dead zones, and then we can hopefully catch and see if it's accumulating there. So what I really want you to take away from this is that you now know what a bioreactor is, and that the baffles are working, and that we're getting a bonus dissolved P removal. And we're going to continue monitoring the nitrate removal and the dissolved phosphorus removal and see how that phosphorus changes and if nitrate ever stagnates. And we're also going to continue tracer tests to ensure that no dead zones are appearing. Hopefully someday going to set hydraulic retention time for how the baffles are right now. It's been hit or miss because it's hard to evaluate with the baffles. And we're going to begin monitoring for internal dissolved oxygen and oxygen reduction potential from the well specifically within the bioreactor. And I'd like to thank everybody. Those poor two guys helped me carry out heated enclosures so that we could do winter sampling. And they got to help me do that. And the Dudley Smith Initiative and the NREC and, of course, Team iDrop, Janice.
Interesting, great presentation. Could you imagine that since now you have the baffles and they're kind of just straight line baffles going into the bioreactor, that you are creating somewhat of a preferred flow path through the bioreactor, and you could have some corners with less flow kind of way up?
Yeah, actually, I made a comment at one point that I thought we should have almost put more wells in it at one point in certain areas, because I wonder, well, yeah, I do, but in a couple years, once everything settles, I don't know, the next graduate student that encounters that, it'll be nice to see, because mine's so new, it's part of the, like, we've had to wait for everything to drain, and I'm only seeing it right at the beginning, so as it ages, it'll be interesting to see what does develop, but only time can tell on that one.
question?
Did you guys know what species of tree of wood chips, or was it just like the rest of us, whatever we can get?
It was a mix. I believe pine, was this one pine? I just did a bunch of particle size analysis for like 6 different bioreactors, and right now it's eluding me. Yeah. It's hardwood, I do believe. I don't remember what species is in it. If you talk to me later, I can probably let you know. That's a great question. We think maybe it's attaching to the wood chips. I actually haven't read too much into that. I just noticed as I was going through that it was so significant that we had been running this as like a side thing. I'm going to look more into that because I'm not 100% sure, to be completely honest with you. But I think we'll be able to figure it out in a little bit, especially if it does end up just stopping, then we can say, yeah, it's just because the wood chips are so new. Otherwise, I'm not really sure, to be honest.
Yeah, great presentation. The bypass also removed some nitrates. Why?
No, that's the total amount of water, and so it's like diluting the amount that the bioreactor is doing. I'm sure there's probably some that's happening from the field itself, but that's why there's such a percentage reduction, because you add in all that extra water, it's diluting how much the numbers look, I suppose, would be.
So, I didn't do a bioreactor, but I did an in-ditch bioreactor, or sort of in southern Mississippi Basin for my PhD. Not there anymore. But I used Bermuda grass hay because the idea of using wood chips, it's just not very, very viable carbon. So I'm curious if you've given any thought or if you've seen anything on using a different sort. I understandably, a farmer is going to want to dig up his bioreactor to put carbon in, and I'm sure that's what's driving the decision to use carbon for wood chips, but do you know any?
I just know that we're using it because hardwood. I've seen people use corn cobs. We have a guy that just installed it, and he used municipal waste, and I was trying to do particle, or not municipal waste, like the trees, like when you take your trees in your yard, so like leaf litter and like twigs that are like this big. So I'm curious to see, but he did it all himself, and he did it for $3,000, so can you blame the guy? So a lot of farmers also like wood chip, they have like wood chippers, so they'll just wood chip their own tree into the thing. I don't know much else outside of grasses. I've actually don't think I've read anything about a grass in a bioreactor, because most of the time it's wood chip bioreactors that I'm looking at.
And grass is gonna, you know, a hay, yeah, gonna disappear like that.
But yeah, I'm sure like some people have open pit ones. They might do, or like you were talking about the wall ones, like sawdust walls. I'm sure it's similar to that, where you have to do more management, and not trying to get a farmer to do that, I feel like, would be really hard. There's so many other things to do.